Philippians chapter 1, and we'll read these verses, and then we'll go into the sermon. When Jesus went into the synagogues, as their custom was, whoever came in, they would give them a book to read. And once they read the book, they have to explain it, and then they have to apply it. And so the thing that I want you to see here as we read this is some good information here, but it's some things that we need to kind of understand to help us in our daily walk with the Lord who has laid the pattern for us. Paul is writing this to the Philippians church who he established. He says, now, but I would ye would understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The bonds here are chains, as Brother Miller indicated. So indeed, preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18 is the last one. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Think about those verses. Actually, the whole section is actually from verses 12 through 26. It's called a pericope, and therefore we're going to just get some of that so we can see what this is all about. And so this morning, I want to ask you a question. How do you respond to trouble when it comes? Some complain. Some whine, others get angry, and still others just fall to pieces. Obviously, these are all wrong, sinful responses. As we turn to our lesson this morning from these particular verses, we shall see how God wants you to respond. Now, just let that sink in, because you coming to the scripture as being cold, you know nothing about this, but I want to get your attention. And when I get your attention, I want to hold it. And what I want you to see is something here. And I want to tell you my purpose so you know. My purpose is to encourage you to let joy reign in your life. Joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit that God gives you when you become a child of God and when you walk by His Spirit. If you're looking for a subject, it is a life of joy. Now, I won't take my time this morning. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm usually moving, but I ain't moving. But I want you to understand that there is something that God says that He wants from all of us. He wants you to have joy in your life. Paul would even say in this last verse, I know what's going on here. But I am going to rejoice. It's in the command mode. I'm going to rejoice. And he said, I will rejoice. Nothing is going to stop me from having joy in my life. Because I know that the Spirit of God is working in me. I know the Spirit of God is producing joy in my life. And so, God commands you to rejoice. Now, there are verses in Philippians that breaks this down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Those are commands. He says, in all things, you are to rejoice. Somebody said, is there a reason why he said in all things? Because understand this, and we'll show this after a while, that God is sovereign in what he's doing. God says he wants you to have joy in your life. In all things, in all circumstances, he wants you to have joy in your life. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to understand whatever circumstance you're in, whether it's trials that you're going through in life, God wants you to have joy in your life. It means the hard times that you're going through, God wants you to rejoice, to have joy in your life. In all your circumstance, even in your family relationship, we have in-laws and we have outlaws, but he still wants you to rejoice in your relationship with your family. Every family can be a dysfunctional family. You see, when sin entered the world, sin marred the very image of God, and sin just messed up everything. But God said, I'm going to help you in hard times. When trials come upon you, when there's suffering, and when you have problems in your relationship, I will help you. He wants you to have joy reigning in your life. Don't you get sick of folk complaining all the time? I didn't ask you to say amen. That's okay. Don't you get tired of folk complaining all the time? Don't you get tired of people whining all the time? Don't you get tired of that? What's going on with God's children? Why are they having this stuff in their life? Why is there not joy in your life? Why are you not rejoicing? God wants you to rejoice. God forbids you to be bitter. Understand? Bitterness takes away joy. God doesn't want you to be bitter about the unrealistic expectations with your job. I remember I worked on several jobs, but I'm going to tell you something. You got to get along to get along. And that doesn't mean I'm doing wrong. You got to understand this. But what I'm saying is there are certain expectations that they want you to have, and there are certain expectations you should have. But you can't be bitter. You can't be bitter. And let me say this. If bitterness pops up in your thoughts, you better ask God to help you with that. Because if you don't, it will rob you of the joy that God has provided for you through the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want you to be bitter with your unmet desires. I desire to be a millionaire, but I know in the world ain't gonna be no millionaire. Well, Lord, so I'm not gonna be bitter over what God has given me. I'm not gonna be bitter because it's God that gives you what you have and gives you the ability and the strength to get it. You ought to be content with what God gives you at this moment, but you're not complacent. You're still gonna work because we all have desires. Don't be bitter with your unfilled ambitions. A lot of us can have some really high ambitions. There are people who just constantly are doing things to up their ambition and to get them where they need to be. But let me just tell you, God is not looking at your ambitions. He's looking at you living a Christian life. God just wants you to rejoice, everybody. And hard times gonna come, and all those things gonna come, but you got to understand why they're coming. You got to understand what God is doing to you to help you to develop as a spiritual man, woman, teenager, young adult. He's doing it in your life. He's working in your life to help you to grow mature spiritually. You need him. As a song, we need him every hour of the day. We really do. We need him, everybody. You can forget this thing thinking you that you got it made. You ain't got nothing. And if you think you can make it, you're wrong. Because there's a word called secular humanism. You're not the captain of your soul. You're not the captain of your soul. God is the captain of your soul. Oh, sure, you make choices and decisions. But I guarantee you at the end of the day, when God makes the decision, it's a decision made. You've got to understand that we have a good God, and he is there to help you to have joy in your heart when you're around people, talking to people, they see it. And folk joy attracts folk. I don't know about you, but joy attracts people. But if you're not joyful and have all this crazy, Oh, no. Misery loves company, but I guarantee you, I don't love it. Oh, no. I want to make sure that my life is the life that I want to live for the Lord until he calls me home. I want you to know that. A life of joy is like having a life that we can enjoy with the Lord. I want you all to know something without fear of contradiction. All of us are rich. We are wealthy because our Heavenly Father has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has said all spiritual blessings are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am wealthy. I am rich. And so are you. I don't have to walk around with my head down as a poor pauper. Oh, no, I don't have to do that. I can walk with my head up, knowing that God has all the cattle on the hill.
God can give me what I can't give myself. And God will make sure he supply all your needs. And sometimes your wants. But he won't supply your wants when he know you're going to use them up, paw them up, do your thing up. He ain't going to do that. Brother White, this may be too loud. That's what you used to do. I hear feedback, but I don't pay attention to that. Emmanuel does. But anyway, God want us to have joy in our hearts. He want us to rejoice. And I guarantee you, as Festus Hagen say on Gunsmoke, I guarantee you that if God supplies the joy through the Holy Spirit, it is joy and not happiness. Joy is going to last a long time. Amen. And he will make sure that you have it. So then, God forbids you to be bitter and all of these things. There is only one justification for the loss of joy, and that is sin. Y'all get that? It is sin. Have you noticed when folk know that they are in sin, they don't have any joy in their life? They can't rejoice because they're thinking about the sin that is in their life. That joy has been lost because sin has now taken its place. So you lose your joy because of sin that is in your life, that is progressively moving in your life. In order for you to get that joy back, you've got to confess unto God that you have sinned and repent of your sin and get that joy back that the Holy Spirit would produce in your life. Sin can rob you of your joy. So when you fall into temptation, you need to cry like the psalmist cried in Psalm 51 and 12. He cried out, said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Get it back. We sing, "Restore my soul." The Spirit of God restores the soul and helps you move forward for the Lord. There's some of us today, I know, that walked in this building and they were sorrowful. They didn't have the joy that they needed. They didn't rejoice. Even when we are singing melodious songs and hymns, they're not joyful. You know why? Because their joy has been lost. When you come to the Lord, he makes sure that you have the joy that you need when you hear the word of God. You can truly say amen when you hear the word of God and you have joy in your heart. Keep in mind, God has done and is doing so much for us. He's working in our lives. He's helping us in ways that you don't even know. God is doing that. You need to know that you ought to expect trouble and difficult circumstances. They're going to come. They're going to come. They're going. Job 14:1, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You got to expect it because it's going to come. You live in a world that is dominated by Satan, and he's going to bring things upon you that makes it so difficult. And let me tell you, if you don't have God in your life, if you don't have Christ in your life, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not rejoice when they come upon you. You won't. No, no, I know you won't. Because you don't expect trouble and circumstances. See, what you look at, I've been in the church from day one. I've been a member of this church for years, and I got it made. No, you don't have it made. The only time when you will have it made, when you stressed out with your hand folded, looking up to God, you have made it. But other than that, you're going to have trouble, circumstances in your life. You need to stop whining. You need to stop complaining. You need to stop all that stuff that is negative in the body of Christ and expect these things to happen. If anything, you be the solution and not the problem. Now, that wasn't part of that lesson I got here, but God forbid you to be bitter. Someone does something to you, you need to stop going to somebody else. And you need to go to that person. I'm telling you what God loves, and that's the truth. Because you will have joy in your life. You will be able to have peace because you are a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. You will have joy in your life that you can rejoice when somebody else has things in their life that they want to share with you. Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Be merry with them. Don't be so angry and envious of somebody. Rejoice with your brothers and sisters of what God has done for them and what God can do for you. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Folk leave the Lord because they're bitter. You can't do that and survive. You can't do it. Let me tell you something what Jesus said in John 16:33. He says, now these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now, does everybody know what peace is? Irene, the Greek word, Irene, peace. I've got peace that I know I'm not an enemy of God. I know I'm not. I'm not an enemy of God. I have peace with God. God has made sure that we are not enemies of him simply because he has given us his son. I have peace. I can lay down at night because I have peace with God. And by the way, that's the only peace I need. Do you hear me? Because I cannot appease all of you, and I never will. But as long as I have peace with God, everything is going to be all right. Oh, I know in the kingdom of God, he said, blessed are the peacemaker. I know that. He was simply saying that because there are troublemakers in the church. That you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. And if you don't think you will, you are wrong.
We're going to have some tribulations. We're going to have some turbulence in our life. And I want you to know that sometimes the devil brings that. But sometimes it's God who's bringing trials in your life to get your attention. It is God that's working this thing so he can say to you, do you see? Jesus said, you're going to have tribulations. But watch what he says. He says, be of good cheer. That means I'm going to rejoice. I don't know about you. I'm going to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And let me just tell you something. Don't be afraid of this. We say, well, I'm going to have rejoicing and then trouble going to come. Don't even worry about that. You know, folks don't like to talk about things because they figure it's going to come. But don't you know you can talk about it because you put it there? And if trials and tribulations and trouble come before you get out of this building, you just heard a sermon that said rejoice in the Lord. You just heard a sermon, don't be bitter. You heard it, haven't you? Don't be afraid. James said that trouble comes in order to make you perfect, teleos, complete. Makes you what God want to make you. God is doing this. He's working. Aren't you glad he's working in your life? Because if he were not working in your life, you would be in trouble. You would be in trouble. James said, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire. Look at the completeness there. Wanting nothing. As I said earlier about the sovereignty of God, God is sovereignly in control of everything that happens to you. He sees it. He knows it. Sometimes God will allow you to get into something that you can't get yourself out of. And God will see it, and he'll just let you work with it. But then after a while, when you get tired, you decide now you want to turn to God. God was always there, just waiting for you to turn to him. So the question, when you get in trouble, do you turn to self first or do you turn to God first? I know what you're saying, but you. The thing is, things that happen in our life causes us to be bitter with God. Now, folks don't say it, but their actions, because you know that Church of Christers, you're told you not to get bitter at God. And so we have those things that's in our mind. And by the way, Satan put thoughts in your mind to really say that this God that I'm serving is not the God I thought he was. Satan does that, everybody. He does it. That's why members are up and down, here and there, coming and going. Y'all don't hear me. They're just not consistent because they're struggling with things. All you got to do is turn to God and make a decision, replace those bad habits with good habits. Because that's the only way it's going to work.
The church needs you. The church needs you. You think they don't. They do. The body here needs you. If your membership is here, you ought to be here. And help us out. And help us out. I'm just going to put it that way. Oh, Lord. Everything happened to you, God is in sovereign control. Do you believe that God has a divine design behind every situation? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a divine design behind events and blessings and burdens that you face in your life? Without fear of contradiction, God knows God has designed this. God has planned this. Amen. I'm almost done. God is not interested in your happiness. Y'all didn't hear me today. God knows that happiness comes from happenstance. God knows that happiness comes from situation. God knows that happiness happens that way. God is not concerned about happiness. God is concerned about your joy that you have in Him. And because of that, He wants you to rejoice. God is interested not in your happiness, but God is interested in your holiness. Now, that's not no play on words. I want you to hear that. He's not interested in your happiness. He's listening in your holiness. So many times He leaves you in a prison to make you holy. And let me tell you that God can do that. God left Paul in prison in Rome. And so He's writing to the Philippians because they were concerned about him being in prison. They said, I want to know how you're doing, Paul. And I want to know how the gospel is doing, Paul. But I want you to know that Paul's expectation, he wanted to go to Rome, but he didn't want to go to Rome the way he went. He was in prison. He was a prisoner. And so Nero has a decision to make. Do I execute him or release him? I want you to know that Paul's expectation was to go to Rome one day. But God had a different plan. God wants you to be holy. And well, we know the scripture. God said, be ye holy as I am holy. God wants you to be holy. What does that mean? The word holiness, we get the word sanctification. I want you to know that you have salvation. But sanctification is a progressive thing that happens to you. You can say that you're holy. You can say that you're saved and holy and sanctified. You can say that. The world has used it in a derogative way. You are sanctified because God said if you walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, there is no condemnation to those who walk in the Spirit. That's sanctification. So we have to continue to work to be holy in spite of what we're going through in life. God says you still got to be holy. You still got to set yourself apart. For me. And when you do, God will make sure that joy reigns in your life. He's going to do it. See, the thing about it is happiness. Some of you were probably happy this morning when you got up. Because you got a new outfit you're going to wear. Well, Lord. And so,
I can't wait. I can't wait. So I'm happy about it. Come, ain't nobody. Come. Nobody compliments you. Oh, Lord. And nobody compliments you on the nice. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, you are unhappy. You are so unhappy, you can't even sing the song. Boy, that's something else, isn't it? I said I was going to quit in a minute, but listen. God ain't concerned about that. You can forget it. You may be, not him. Be ye holy as I am holy. If you will develop a submissive mind, a mind that says to the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes for me to be holy, then you will have a blessedness, a contentment, whatever it takes, God will do it, and you will be content just what God is doing in your life. But contentment is just, wow, just kind of almost like tranquility. It just calms you. Really, it does. It really does. You don't have to think about all this stuff. Just think about what God is doing and how God wants you to respond to him. That's why I indicated my purpose to encourage you to let joy reign in your life. If you do that, then you're going to be a better person inside, because there are things you need to get rid of and replace to make you that type of person in the sight of God. God is doing that. God says, I want you to know what I'm doing for you. God is also saying that I won't hurt you. I won't hurt you. I believe that. And you do too. Because of things you've gone through. God is not going to hurt you. Matter of fact, God is going to help you. That's what kind of God was. I don't know if I can get this over to you, everybody. You got to go through some things, I guess, to understand how God works in your life. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says this: weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Have you ever laid down with a weary heart? Have you ever laid down thinking about certain things? Have you ever laid down wondering how it's going to turn out? Have you ever laid down wondering what God is going to do? The psalmist said, you don't have to worry about it. I want you to know joy will come. May not come when you want it, but joy is going to come in the morning. I can lay down, but I guarantee you when I wake up, joy is going to be in my heart. I know it will. I've experienced it. I know God brings joy in your life. Stop running around here telling folk everything. If you're going to tell them something, tell them what God has done for you. Amen. Tell them what God said that he can do for you. God can bring you a mighty long way. God will do it. I know he'll do it. You ain't got to take my word for it. All you got to do is read the word of God. God took folk and brought them out. And he'll bring you out. Amen. Amen.
I want you to know that. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's what he wants us to do. Let me hurry on him. Oh, God would do that. Every pain, every trial, every suffering, every circumstance of life is filtered through God's fingers of love. God will do it. That's the word of God. You came here this morning to hear the word of God, because it's going to help you. Today, this one will help you today. I don't know what it'll do for you tomorrow, but I know what it's going to do today. You can believe it or disbelieve it, but I know what God would do. And it could not come into your life if it did not have a purpose. And that's what you need to know. The pain, the suffering comes in your life for a purpose. God just does not do that just because he wanted to do it. Everything has a purpose. Jesus came to this earth. He had a purpose. God planned it. It just didn't happen. God planned him to die. God planned him to get the man to do the job. He planned it. He planned that Roman soldier that had a knife that was sharp as a two-edged sword, as the word of God says. But he had a soldier that knew how to execute folk. He knew how to do it. He had a knife that he would stick in the bottom of the rib. Y'all listen to me now. He was an executor. He knew how to do it. He knew how to get that knife and stick that knife into Jesus. He picked him in him. He stuck it in him all the way. He turned that knife. Bible said came out blood and water, because he knew where to strike that heart so that blood and water would come out. Y'all don't hear me today, but Jesus, he was on his way out, and he know that God planned this thing. God had a plan for man. That's why Jesus looked up to the Father. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's why Jesus said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had a purpose for Jesus to come to this and die for the sins of the world, so that we could have joy in our life, so that we can rejoice when we're going through hard times in life. We can rejoice and not be bitter at God, because we know what God is doing. His purpose is there, and I thank God for it. I want you to know something. People can rob you of your joy. Now you can hang around them, you can hang around as long as you want to, thinking that you can handle this situation. But I want you to know they just slowly robbing you of your joy. You got to have that joy. And you know when a lot of Christians have lost their joy, when they come to church all mad, come to church, think they got a ship on the shoulder. Something, they got something on the shoulder, but yet and still, they come and they have lost their joy. They've been running around with the wrong folk. If you're going to run around, well, let me put it this way. This one, oh, you know this one. If you want to be an eagle, you're going to have to fly with an eagle. If you want to be a chicken, you're going to have to be with the chickens. Y'all ought to help me today. Thinking, you think just because you run with a chicken, you're going to be an eagle. You can forget that. Let me get back to this one. People can rob you of your joy that the Holy Spirit supplies to you every day. That's why joy is in my heart, because I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. Letting God control me by giving me what I need. And how he does it, he's given me joy in my life. Me and my wife, hey Lord, we have joy in our life. Even though we have some, oh Lord, but I want you to know there is joy in our household. You ain't gonna come in there and find out, but it's so much, woo-wee, so much thickness. Everything gonna be all right. I'm about to close this thing now. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm about to close it down though. God has a way of working with you. You got to have people that will help you have joy and keep that joy in your life. Not only can people rob you of your joy, things can rob you of your joy, such as material things. And some folks, the house, I ain't gonna talk about it, but let me tell you something. Material things can cause you to lose the joy that you have. You don't come to worship because you're working 2 and 3 jobs. You don't have to say amen. You know that. I've got to have this job. I got to have that job. I got to have that job because I want to get me a Mercedes Benz. I can't even say it, Mercedes Benz. And once you get a Mercedes Benz, you've got to, all the gas may be easy, but brother, the upkeep on that. That's why I drive a Hyundai Sonata. Well, y'all ought to help me today. Y'all ought to help me today. I tell you, get what you can afford. And then you can take vacation. Well, Lord, you can take it then. Vacate the place. Vacate the place. Okay. Things rob you of your joy. Achieving recognition. You know what? You know what, though? People look for recognition. I want you to know that. They want to be recognized. And they go to school and they get all these letters behind their name, right? All these letters. But I tell you one thing. I know I got some letters behind my name. And I ain't been to no school where they give you. I've got some letters behind my name. And the letters I have behind my name is SR, senior. Because I got a junior. So I got something behind my last name. And I know what it means. I know what it means. Recognition. If you're waiting for people to recognize you, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. But the one that you want to recognize you, in the end, is God. You want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Come on up here and enjoy what I made for you. That's what I want. I want God to recognize me, because you can put me up, you can bring me down. So I ain't depending on that. I'm depending on God. I'm depending on God. I told those brothers I'm going to be doing 12 after. All right, now. Make Christ your goal. Not recognition, not popularity, not money, not profession. Oh, we can go on, but you need to make Christ your goal. Circumstances can rob you of your joy because Christ is your peace and you have secure mind, you can have peace. And if you're listening to the word of God today, it will tell you how to have joy no matter what. Paul says, rejoice, and I will rejoice. None of this stuff is bothering me because I know I have joy in the ministry. Let me say this to you, that all of us should understand what God's word will say about a lot of things. But God's word is definitely on it when God says, have joy in your heart. Joyful. Joy. And when you do things, you understand, you all understand that God knows the motive already. He knows the motive, and he knows the very intent of everything you're doing. So in my conclusion, when we began, I asked you, how do you respond to trouble when it comes? I asked you that. And I hope that from the text that you see that a person who have gone through all of these things that you can learn from Paul. He didn't complain. He didn't whine. He rejoiced in the Lord. That's what he did. So what God is saying, this is what I've said. Now, how do you respond? How do you respond? That is on you today. How do you respond to the message that you heard today? Because let me tell you something. You know that God commands you to rejoice. How will you respond? You know that God forbids you to be bitter. How do you respond? You heard it. And anything other than responding with joy in your heart and you have bitterness is sinful. It is sinful. You just can't put that off. It's sinful. So what you want to do, you want to respond in a way that we laid out for you is God's command that you do that. And if you do that, then now you're walking in the way of the Lord. And you can have a life, I want you to know this, you can have a life that is reigning with joy in your life. You can. Just know, there are trouble, the circumstance, all of these going to happen. But you can still have joy in your heart. You can live with joy in your heart. We know that time bring about a change. We know age bring about the same. By the way, just to drop this off while I'm flying over, I turned 65. Now, I just...